Happy Wednesday, everyone. All you MAGA Republican domestic terrorists out there, I hope you're all doing well. Welcome back. If you listen, it's wild. Facebook, which we are live on Facebook now. We are live. We're live on Facebook. We're live on Rumble. We're live on Getter, Cloud Hub, and the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV. Interesting thing about Facebook, the last few, about a week or so, they've been messing with me. I don't know if any of you have noticed. If you're in the Facebook chat, just comment. Let me know you can hear me and everything okay. The reason why I ask is if you follow my Facebook page, which is growing by the day. However, I guess I'm in a little bit of a Facebook jail. I haven't been able to post on the page. I can't post, I think, for another, I think it said like 32 hours the last I saw. Because I posted the Halloween costume meme with Hunter Biden in his underwear. And apparently that photo is something about sexual exploitation of adults or something like that. But what's interesting is I can go live on Facebook, but I can't comment in the comment section. I can see your comments in the chat. I can't post. I can't like or anything like that. So If you're live on Facebook, or even on Rumble, I see on Rumble, I see you on Getter. Let me know where you're tuning in from. The chats are open. We are days away from probably the most important election that we've had in quite a long time. Like to know who out there has voted already, which if you watch me and listen, you do know that I'm not a supporter of early voting whatsoever. I think voting should be done on election day. We do not have an election season. We have an election day. That's what the Constitution says. And I believe early voting and especially voting by mail will be the destruction of our republic more than we've already been somewhat destroyed by the ridiculous, cheating, lying, nefarious left. So I see people in the chat now. We got Idaho. We got a few people in the chat. Awesome. So do me a favor. Hit the share button. It's important. We got to get the message out. Hit the share button. That's the most important thing you do for me. Subscribe on Rumble. Follow on Getter. Repost. You know, follow me on Truth Social, the Great Divide podcast. Anyway, we got Hillary Clinton. We got Barry Hussein Obama. We got Kamala Harris. We got Joe Biden traveling the country in the last ditch effort to campaign for desperate loser Democrats. And what they're doing now, what the game plan is, and it really hasn't changed much, but they're intensifying it now, is smear, destroy, and just talk shit about Republicans. We are insurrectionists. We are a danger to democracy. We are fascists. We want a dictator. It's just none of it makes sense. But this is what they do. Everything that they want, they project as if somebody else wants it. They're desperate and they're losing. And if they're not losing, they're neck and neck. But the polls really, to me, mean nothing. You know, I go back to the early voting. I don't like that a tremendous amount of people have voted in person or by mail in Florida. They do it there where you can see by party registration how many people voted. And it's a lot. I think almost 200,000 more Republicans have voted early than Democrats. There are a lot of people, tremendous amount of people that voted early in Pennsylvania, which worries me because after the Fetterman Oz debate, the debacle of a debate with, retarded Shrek at the helm. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Oh, really? Well, I did. The number one trending Google search in Pennsylvania was, how do I change my vote if I already mailed it in after the Fetterman Oz debate, which, again, debate shouldn't be held when voting already started. But again, voting shouldn't be starting until November 8th. It should start and end November 8th. And I feel like a broken record when I say this, but there is nothing more important than getting out to vote on November 8th. And I don't care if you have to lose a day's pay, and you shouldn't care either. There's nothing more important. There's nothing you could be doing that's more important or better than being part of saving this country on November 8th. And again, we have to know that it doesn't stop on November 8th. November 8th is just the start of saving this republic and getting the people elected. We want elected America First candidates, Congress, Senate, governors all over the country, and that we make sure that we keep the pressure on them, feet on their necks, that they are going to represent us the way they should be representing us and uphold the Constitution and defending the Constitution of the United States. I got to give a shout out to GOP Josh. He's in the Facebook chat. If you guys haven't checked out his podcast, GOP Josh, matter of fact, I gotta get a hold of you, Josh. I gotta have you on. I wanna talk to you because you do some great stuff. You know, it's not, you don't see too often young conservatives like under the age of 18. And Josh, forgive me, but I believe, I think you're like, you can say it in the chat. I believe you're like 16 or 17 or something like that. And it's like Tucker Carlson 2.0. I mean, he's got great guests on. I watched your episode with J.R. Majewski, who's great. He may pop in the chat. He's always popping in the chat on my show. Ohio 9th District, J.R. Majewski. If you're in Ohio, make sure you're voting for J.R. Majewski on November 8th. But yeah, GOP Josh, he's got a great show. Look him up. Follow him. And check out his show. It's great. It's like a Rush Limbaugh type show. Like, he's there. It's great. Me, I'm a little more unfiltered and unapologetic, and I go off the rails. But you know, 16. There you go. 16 years old, Josh. Yeah, you deserve the kind words. You're doing great things. And again, we don't see too many people involved in this conservative movement, especially at 16 years old. There's a handful of, 16, 17, 18 year olds, people that aren't even old enough to vote and know what the deal is and how important conservative values are and how important it is to further and protect our republic. And it starts and doesn't end on November 8th. And again, we have people. I'm going to play a video of that vile. I'll be nice. The vile woman, if you want to call her that, Hillary Clinton, with the other vile racist, Joy Reid, talking about how Republicans are a danger to democracy. I have a video I'm going to attempt to play. So I updated my production system. So when I play videos in the chat, I just want to make sure you hear them. Everything's tested, but technology hasn't been on my side lately, but whatever. And that's what we get for having a live show. But the live shows are important because I get to interact with all of you. I knew it. I could tell that, Josh, that Rush Limbaugh is an inspiration of yours just by the way you do your show. So that's interesting. So we got Hillary Clinton. We got Barry Obama. We got them all. We got them all coming out, desperation. They got to get these Democrats elected, trying to drag them over the finish line, which God willing is not going to happen. We need to get out and vote. Vote red. MAGA Republicans, America First, wherever you are. And that's for governor. That's for Congress. It's for Senate. It's for everything. It's about stacking chips right now. The people that, and you listen, there are rhinos that I want out. There are so many rhinos that I want out of office. I am not a fan of Lindsey Graham. I despise him, affectionately called Lady G. Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, I do not want Speaker of the House. There are a lot. But the people that basically took everything away from us, okay? Jobs, school shutdowns, business shutdowns, destroyed businesses, made you wear a face diaper, want to shove needles in the arms of your children, sit back and expect you to, for you, for us to give them their jobs back on November 8th. And to them, I say pound salt, in nicer terms. Really not in the mood to start dropping F-bombs. I actually had a good day today, so I'm not all fired up. I'm fired up that We're days away from, again, one of the most important elections I think we've had in a really long time. On election night, I will be live streaming with my good friends, Roan and Noah from the Steak for Breakfast podcast. We usually do the Saturday morning show, The Great Steak Breakfast Now, which unfortunately we're not doing this Saturday. Everybody is a scheduling conflict. So this Saturday we're off, but we are going to be doing probably a 3 or 4 hour live stream live on election night, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here live where you're watching Rumble, Facebook, Getter, the Patriot Podcast Network, bringing you the results live commentary. And we also have people from the campaign trails that will be calling in on election night to talk to us. We have Christina Bobb, Donald Trump's attorney. We also have Kash Patel, who is former chief of staff for the Department of Defense, will be calling in and joining us and giving us some commentary on what's going on out there. Of course, he served under the great Donald Trump. Mike Crispy, who hosts Unafraid with Mike Crispy over on LFA TV, and a few others, Erica Knight, and possibly maybe some candidates like Joe Kent, who's running in Washington State, and others. So, yeah. It's possible. Steak for breakfast. So we do the Saturday morning show, my show, The Great Divide, and Steak for Breakfast joined forces, and we are now The Great Steak Breakfast every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on, again, Facebook, Rumble, and everywhere you can get your podcast. So we do the collaboration show there. A lot going on. I'm also now the new co-host for We the People Radio on Tuesday with James Curry, who I do Monday Madness and Freedom Friday with. His two co-hosts have moved on to other things. Life, you know, sometimes takes turn and, you know, other things, opportunities pop up and businesses and things like that. So I'm going to be joining every Tuesday evening, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, We the People Radio with James Curry, his show. So I'll be co-hosting with him. All right. So a lot going on. I mean, Democrats are sitting there saying, hey, listen, you have to vote for Democrats because Republicans want to force young girls to give birth to babies when they get pregnant. Well, make it seem like, you know, we're going to tie you down to a chair and get you pregnant and sit there and just watch you suffer 9 months pregnant. And this is on campaign signs in New York. This is for Governor Kathy Hochul, the piece of garbage she is, loves criminals, wants to inject your children. Literally, some of her campaign signs say that. Say, don't vote for Republicans. They want to force your daughters to have babies. This is what they are pushing. Literally, that we want to destroy democracy and overthrow and take over the government and install a dictator. And what's crazy is they think that every Democrat is eating this up, but they're not realizing that there are a lot of Democrats waking up and saying, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right. Our lives have been complicated since Joey Bag of Donuts took office. Gas prices, grocery prices, crime, you name it. I mean, what's not expensive anymore? I know people that are struggling to get decent pricing for heating oil to fuel their homes, and they're worried about if they're going to have to be able to literally, and I'm not kidding, this isn't a scare tactic. This isn't fear-mongering. I know people in this situation where do they heat their home? Or do they make sure that they're having a home-cooked meal every night? But then they're saying, well, eating pizza isn't even cheap anymore. When you order a pie in New York and it's $23 before you put a topping on it, and then you tip in the driver, like, and you're only getting 8 slices. You know, like, I have families when they do pizza night, you know, there's 7 of them in the house, and they have to order, you know, 2 or 3 pizzas, and then $75 later for one night's dinner, and it's literally dough, cheese, and sauce. Like, and then they have to get up in the morning and go to the gas station and pay $4.75 or $5 a gallon to put gas in their car. It's just this. But they want to turn around and say, well, Republicans want to force your daughters to have kids. Okay. All right. Nobody wants to force anybody to do anything. We don't want you to murder babies. Maybe think on your feet a little bit before you make that terrible mistake and just be a little more self-conscious, be a little more responsible, act like an adult. That would be the smart thing to do. So there was a survey done recently that says over one third of small businesses couldn't pay their rent in October. So you're a small business, whether you might be a little clothing outlet, you might be a deli, whatever it is, you rent a space in a strip mall, whatever it is. One third of small businesses could not pay their October rent because people are just not coming out and spending money. It's just not that the prices are high. Listen, production costs are raised. So wholesale costs for the retailers are raised. So what? They're just going to eat that, and then they're not going to pass on the expense to the consumer and make the retail pricing high? Yeah, of course they are. That's, you know, I'm not an economist, but that's basic economics, you know, economics 101. So it's the rent delinquency, they said was already at a six-month low at 30% in September. But now it's increased by like, I think they said like 7 points or something like that, to like 37%. And that's small businesses are having trouble paying their rent. So what happens if they're not going to pay their rent because then they're not making money, they're not going to stay open. Where I am, Long Island, New York, we are seeing businesses that have been around still right now after the scamdemic. Right now, we're seeing businesses that have been open 40, 50, and 60 years, okay? Big family businesses. I wouldn't even consider them small businesses because they've been around so long and they've grown, are closing because inflation, out-of-control prices, taxes, rents, everything. And I agree in the chat. It's getting harder for all Americans to get a long period, and that is because of the big government, because big government is the problem. But realize that all of these Democrats, like you have Chuck Schumer, who's the majority leader in the Senate and my state senator, unfortunately, all of them want, because they treat us like idiots, they want to give you all of this free stuff, all of these government programs, so you rely on them, government housing, they don't want you to own anything, because then once they have that control is what they want to hold on to that control, then we need them and we'll keep electing them so we can, because now that we're dependent on the big government and dependent on these government programs, whatever that government program might be that you're benefiting from. Now, when you need that, when you can't live without it, where that's now the way of life, the convenience of these government programs, you're 100%, can't even talk, going to make sure you're voting for these powerful people that are making sure these government programs are there for you to benefit now. And that is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous problem. And that is why, you know, when small businesses can't pay their rents because they're, you know, the people aren't shopping in them because they can't afford it because of just compound it all, that's a big problem. Small business is the backbone of this country. Democrats do not like small businesses. They like big corporations because big corporations give them money and give them money so that they can run for office and do all that voter contact media and campaign ads to put in really nice videos and commercials in front of you so that they can stay in power. Along with this poll, they said 49% of restaurant owners couldn't pay their rent in October compared to the 36% who struggled the month before in September. Because now restaurants are seeing fewer customers eat out because their disposable income is declining. So what's on the ballot, people? Is it abortion? Or is it because we don't have any disposable income to live, to survive, not even to as a benefit to go out to the movies? Anybody go to the movies anymore, or to go out to restaurants, or to go out to have drinks? I mean, there are bars, not dive bars, really nice bars around me that are closing because nobody has the money to go out and drink or have drinks with friends or eat, not to sit there and binge drink and get drunk. It's really concerning. It's really, really concerning. And rents are increasing. Interest rates are increasing. I mean, right now you try to get a mortgage, it's over 7%. 7%. And I believe it's more now. And I really feel for the people that have those variable mortgages, you know, where your mortgage isn't it doesn't stay what it is every month. And if interest rates rise, your mortgage goes up with it. Plus you have your taxes. I mean, when is enough going to be enough? It's not going to be enough for the left until you give up owning your home because you can't afford it, and that you're living, in a, you know, high rise somewhere or a housing development somewhere that might be government controlled, so they can control it, and that you're not going out buying gas powered vehicles. They want you to buy, you know, electric vehicles that you can't afford because they're $70,000 and they're garbage. Sorry, Elon Musk, but your Teslas are garbage. It's all about control. And then, well, what about crime? Crime is on the ballot in blue states and in blue cities. And my governor, Kathy Hochul, will go on the air and lie and say, she literally said this, now the election deniers, because that's what she calls Republicans, election deniers, but she forgets about her good friend Hillary Clinton, her good friend Nancy Pelosi, and all of these Democrats in the mainstream media that were election deniers in 2016. They all forget about that. Anytime I see a tweet from anyone who is, you know, a Democrat and talks about election denying, I make sure I'm on their post, on their ass, telling them, oh, but what about the election deniers in 2016 or even back in 2000? And then I just start tweeting away until, of course, eventually I get blocked because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to hear the truth because they are the true election deniers. Democrats are freedom deniers. Democrats are anti-American Constitution deniers. But Kathy Hochul will say that Republicans who are election deniers are now data deniers because she says that shootings and murders in New York are down 15%. First of all, those numbers are a lie. They're not down 15% at all. They're talking about crimes that are, they're not talking about the crimes that are not reported in those stats, which there are a tremendous amount. And take the shootings out of it for a minute. How about just walking down the street trying to go to an ATM machine and getting stabbed in the back with a screwdriver, or getting slashed in the face, or getting just your teeth knocked out and your head caved in the street randomly in the middle of the day on the Upper West Side of Manhattan? Because that is happening. Or how many people are getting pushed in front of subways? How many people are getting just jumped and the shit kicked out of them on subway platforms? Like, every time you go into New York City, you're taking your life in your hands, even in really nice neighborhoods. And that's a fact, but they don't want to talk about that. And just the other night in New York City, a guy riding his bicycle, he was like 26 years old, riding his bike, got shot in Brooklyn on his way to go retaliate and shoot somebody else. So the guy riding his bike in Brooklyn with a gun planning to go shoot somebody got shot by somebody else. and this is at 2 o'clock in the morning in Brooklyn, in a predominantly Hasidic Orthodox Jewish neighborhood in Crown Heights. And the guy who got shot, he's already been arrested a dozen times in the city, but he was let out because there's no cash bail. Let him out. They'll all be home in time for dinner. People are arrested for a crime. They get out on bail. They go commit murder. It happens all the time. It just happened recently. And it happens a lot in New York and in these blue run cities. And you have people like John Fetterman in Pennsylvania who loves criminals and brags about helping them get out of jail. And that's someone you want a senator of Pennsylvania? Not someone I want running my city, my state as lieutenant governor, not someone I want representing me in the Senate in Washington, D.C. No. And again, it's about stacking chips. Dr. Oz is the nominee. I'm not a big fan of Dr. Oz. I did not want him to win the primary, but he did. Trump endorsed. It is what it is. He's the guy that needs to become senator in Pennsylvania. Not young Federstein, that's for sure. And again, I go back to abortion because they are confident. Not actually, I don't really like talking about abortion. But the Democrats are confident that women are going to come out in force and vote against Republicans because of abortion. But there's another poll out there that shows that white suburban women favor Republicans by 15 points and even prefer Donald Trump over Joe Biden. That was a Wall Street Journal poll. So it's 15 points. 15% of white suburban women favor Republicans. And obviously, because of inflation and other things. And the demographic, they say, of white suburban women represent 20% of the electorate. And that is a big indicator of which party will probably control Congress come January after November 8th. And the numbers are tightening in a lot of places. You have Carrie Lake in Arizona that's killing it. I think she's ahead by double digits. You have, as a matter of fact, that is true, that Carrie Lake in Arizona, she's holding double digits, the lead over her ridiculous opponent, Katie Hobbs, who doesn't like talking politics to anyone she doesn't know, literally said that. You're running for governor. I think she's Secretary of State currently, but you're running for governor and you don't like talking politics with people you don't know, and you run from journalists and lock yourself in the bathroom and refuse to debate your opponent because you're afraid that she's going to talk over you and lie. Yeah, okay. None of it makes sense. And again, you notice all these Democrats refusing to debate, and then, okay, we'll debate, but we're debating well into when election season already started. Again, if you're just joining, I spoke about it earlier, and I always say it, not a fan of the early voting. I don't think anybody should be doing it. I think everyone should be waiting online and voting on November 8th in person. So I think Carrie Lake is going to pull the entire slate, Blake Masters and for Senate and everyone else running on the in the important races in Arizona. I think she's going to pull them over the edge, and Arizona is going to see a big red wave. The more I'm seeing the last couple days, I'm very skeptical of the Senate. I was more skeptical than I am today overall because, of course, of the lying, cheating, rigging, and stealing that the left will do. The Democrats accuse us of, especially Hillary Clinton, already saying that the Republicans already have in motion the plan to steal the 2024 presidential election because they're all afraid that the big bad orange man is going to run for president and win if he does. Well, I believe that the big bad orange man is going to run for president, and I believe that the Big Bad Orange Man is going to win. There's a lot of buzz out there about Ron DeSantis not confirming if he is going to run for president or not against Donald Trump. I hope he does not. I have my beliefs that if he does, two tremendous political powers, Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, will collide and possibly rip apart the MAGA movement and split it, leaving the void for a rhino Republican to win the Republican nomination for president in 2024. And that would hurt us all. But we are so far off from that. That is just an observation I'm making now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brazil. I got to tell you, I've been busy the last few days, and I've seen snippets of it because I saw that Joe Biden congratulated the incoming, I guess, president who won the election, and the entire country, including the police and other people, it's like an all out revolt and almost civil war in Brazil right now, because they are saying that the election 100% is stolen in Brazil. I'm going to read up more on that maybe tonight. I tend to just glance at stuff like that. I like to concentrate more on what's happening here, but I get it. You look at things around the world and you say, hey, what if that happens here? Because we've been down that road before. It is amazing, though, what is happening there. But again, I'm not going to talk too much on it because I don't know all the details, but I do know that our, you know, commander-in-chief congratulate the incoming Brazilian president. Well, I mean, they're all thieves together, you know, we're all about overthrowing governments in other countries and, you know, money laundering and 10% for the big guy and all that. So yeah, Arizona, Carrie Lake, I think he's going to kill it. Blake Masters, I think they're all going to kill it. I'm hopeful Herschel Walker in Georgia wins. I believe it's a narrow margin there, and they are attacking him heavily. What I like to see is Chuck Schumer, you know, I mean, career establishment, deep state swamp troll Chuck Schumer, literally is barely above 50% in his reelection campaign, which is big for someone like Chuck Schumer and all the money behind him. When he's barely 50%, he's barely above 50%. He's Joe Pinion running against him. Joe Pinion is a great patriot, who's black, by the way. And, you know, not that that matters, but he's calling out Chuck Schumer about exploiting minorities and how he's done nothing for New York and America, and basically besides destroying it and attempting to destroy it and continue to attempt to destroy it. He is, Chuck Schumer is struggling. Joe Pinion killed him at the debate, I thought, but the latest Trafalgar poll just saw he's barely securing 50% of the vote in his reelection bid, which I think is huge. Lee Zeldin, Congressman Lee Zeldin, running for New York governor, is surging, and he's right. So again, polls are the polls. You have one poll will say, oh, Lee Zeldin is 13 points behind. Lee Zeldin is 8 points behind. And then you'll see other polls that are moderate polls where they have them neck and neck, or they have him a point behind or a point up. Either way, that is a neck and neck race. Unfortunately, I'm a huge skeptic for New York politics because, you know, we have all of the ridiculous, disgusting, left-leaning, nefarious liberals in Manhattan and the other boroughs that just vote blue no matter who because they hate Republicans. I'm a skeptic, but I'm hopeful that Lee Zeldin gets it. We need Lee Zeldin in New York. We need Lee Zeldin in New York. We need Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania. We need Carrie Lake in Arizona. We need Ron DeSantis in Florida. We need Tudor Dixon. And I was at Michigan. We need a red tsunami is what we need. Donald Trump is holding a rally in Pennsylvania on Saturday for Dr. Oz and Doug Mastriano. What's interesting, and I guess important, is Barry Obama Joe Biden, and I believe Kamala Harris, the three of them are going to be at a rally on Saturday as well in Pennsylvania for John Fetterman and the little midget Shapiro running for the governor race. So we have to pay attention because we know how these Trump rallies are and the amount of people that they get in these at these Trump rallies. So we got to see what the there's going to be a president and two former presidents in the same state on the same day rallying for the opponents of, of two big races. Let's see what the turnouts are. I know where my bet will be of the largest turnout there, but it will be funny and it will be interesting to see how the mainstream media spins that if they do. I haven't heard anything about the Democrat rally being canceled or anything like that. I believe that they're both on. I don't know if they're running concurrent to the same time I'm not sure. I got to look a little further, but in either case, they are having the two rallies, same state, you know, and it'll be interesting. So I wanted to hit Hillary Clinton. That didn't come out right. I don't want to physically hit Hillary Clinton. Anyway, there's a Hillary Clinton was on with Joy Reid on the readout, you know, the MSNBC's most racist and disgusting host, Joy Reid, who has no talent. There's a video that she was on there on Tuesday talking about the crazy violent rhetoric of the Republicans. You know, the whole Paul Pelosi thing is Trump's fault, right? The whole Paul Pelosi thing, it was incited by Donald Trump in the January 6th rhetoric, and he was chanting, "Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy?" When, you know, I think we all know that this is probably a homosexual relationship that has gone bad. Somebody got caught with their pants down and a hammer in their hand, and no one has confirmed what injuries Paul Pelosi actually sustained. Because they said, Joe Biden said he was operated on, he was in the hospital, but nobody, maybe I missed it. Maybe someone could tell me. I have not seen anywhere from a statement from a hospital or anybody saying what type of injuries Paul Pelosi suffered. I haven't seen anything. So I'm going to, let me bring this up and we'll see how we go here. So this is Hillary Clinton's looking. She's just not looking well. I don't know. Maybe she's not getting her fill of adrenochrome coladas, but she's not looking good. So this is she's one-on-one with Joy Reid. It's a 9-minute video. I don't know if we're going to listen to the whole thing. We'll see how far. Paul Pelosi was getting hammered more ways than one. They're gonna make a movie called Pegging Paul. Oh, that's horrible. Anyway, I'm gonna play this video. Let me know in the comments if you're hearing it. I think the audio is okay, but just let me know.
You, and so I wonder if you can just, you know, tell me how the attack on Paul Pelosi struck you, and what did it tell you about the state of the right in this country and the hate toward a powerful
woman? Look
at
that hair on Joy Reid. Let me know you can hear it.
Well, I think your question kind of answers itself, Joy. There's always been a streak of violence, of you know, racism, misogyny, anti-Semitism, as you said.
Here we go.
But I think what we're seeing today, and it has certainly been thrown into very high relief by the horrific attack on Paul Pelosi, is not just an aberration where one or two people or a small group engage in that kind of violent rhetoric and urge people to take action against political figures like her, like me, like others. we're seeing a whole political party, and those who support it, those who enable it, those who run under its banner,
there we go,
engaging in behavior that is so dangerous and I find, frankly, disqualifying for people who are running for office. You know, this midterm election, we've seen a lot of ads by Republicans running for everything, touting crime. Crime is the issue. But when an 82-year-old man is attacked by an intruder in his own home, they don't seem to be too bothered by that because...
Hold on a second. First of all, Paul Pelosi is not a political figure. Okay. His wife is. Let's get that part right. Okay. Number one. Number two, Republicans aren't out there hoping that Paul Pelosi dies in a hospital bed. If you go back and you see how many Republicans and how many right-leaning talking heads and pundits, I think I even said it and I would say it now. I don't want to see Paul Pelosi beaten like a stepchild by anybody. I mean, yeah, he's 80 something years old. Who wants to see this guy hurt? I don't. Never done anything bad that affects me, but Republicans are not cheering that this guy got hurt. Now imagine for a minute. Well, we could say Donald Trump. He, 75 years old or I don't know, pick an older Republican or pick a younger Republican. Let's say somebody beat the shit out of Ted Cruz at an airport. Beat the heck out of him. You're going to tell me that the Twitterverse and that these people, these disgusting pieces of garbage on the left wouldn't be celebrating? They were celebrating harassing Supreme Court justices. They were celebrating in the hopes that someone would assault a Supreme Court justice. They encouraged and incited an assassination attempt on a Supreme Court justice. And they also, Hillary Clinton included, incited and encouraged and supported domestic terrorist organizations, Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Oh, they're not a real organization, to burn down cities. Oh, Rand, there you go, Josh. Rand Paul. When they went after Rand Paul, when his neighbor, the neighbor, went after Rand Paul, how many Democrats cheered? And yeah, I agree. Somebody let that guy in, and they're spinning it. Oh yeah, this is a MAGA Republican thing. And they're running for everything and they're talking about crime. Yeah, because Republicans are the party of law and order, because we don't want people committing crimes, getting arrested, wasting the time and resources of law enforcement just to come out so they could rearrest them again, to keep law enforcement off the street longer, processing the arrest of the same person four times in a week while other people are out there committing more crimes, because we don't have enough police, because there are a lot of people. Most people now don't want to be police officers. And the ones that do are doing it because, well, they need a job and they pass the test. Let's continue listening to this animal.
Because that person is married to the Speaker of the House, who's of a different political party. I just want your viewers, and really I would like every American, just to stop and think about that. This is the kind of violent rhetoric that leads to violent action, that props up authoritarians, and that's unfortunately what we see the Republican Party today supporting.
You know, and
really, where are they supporting
it? Right, this attacker allegedly confessed to police that his plan was to kidnap Paul Pelosi, to wait for Nancy Pelosi to come home, and then to hold her hostage, to break her kneecaps if she didn't tell whatever truth it is he thought he could get out of her, and then use her as a symbol to everyone else as to what would be in store for them if they didn't behave as his, you know, sort of right-wing conspiracy theory mind believed they should. I mean, if you think about it, this
was
a kidnapping plot that was directed at mm-hmm. the sitting Speaker of the House. And yes, her husband mm-hmm. is the victim of it.
Hold on. Joy Reid sat there. Did she just make all that up? Holding hostage, break her knees, right-wing conspiracy, tell the truth. Like, I think Joy Reid just made that up. Like, this spin I haven't heard yet. I mean, this is unbelievable. Where, I mean, the guy lives in a bus. They spoke to his neighbors. They spoke, I think, to his ex. Well, I think Paul Pelosi was paying this guy for blowies and handies. And I believe that maybe Paul Pelosi was trying to drug this guy who was a lot younger than him. Maybe because he was pulling out the next size up rubber fist and the guy wasn't having it. Maybe was trying to escape, got into a fight. And what about the third party that supposedly let him in? What about referring to him as a friend? What is going on here, Joy Reid? Oh, by the way, this necklace that Hillary Clinton's wearing, that is that their dog's name, or is that like names of missing children that we'll never see again? I think one says Jasper. I don't know what the other one says. I just noticed it. Is she wearing a necklace with the names of her child trafficking victims, I'm wondering? Old Hillary. Anyway, let's see how much more of this we can stomach.
Because he happened to be her husband and happened to be home. And yet, you saw mm-hmm. the person who now solely owns Twitter, which, like it or not, is still a giant global public marketplace of ideas, promote lies about what happened to Paul Pelosi,
lies.
Promote conspiracy theories about it. With the reach that he has and the fact that he and the Saudis own this thing, and that was blasted out.
But it's true that there's more to this story.
We're not even in an age of reality at that point.
Well, you know, to his credit, he took that down. I don't see Republicans running for the Congress or governors and many other different positions taking down their violent ads, or I don't see them, you know, curbing their rhetoric. You played something from Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is, you know, calling for the death because of treason for Speaker Pelosi. You know, the level of just plain crazy violent hate rhetoric coming out of Republicans. You played something from the Republican candidate for governor in Arizona. I want voters to stop and ask themselves, would we trust somebody who is stirring up these violent feelings, who is pointing fingers, scapegoating, making a joke about a violent attack on Paul Pelosi? Why would you trust that person to have power over you, your family, your business?
You hear what you just said? Power over you. Why would you trust Carrie Lake to have power over you? That's interesting. Show me what Republican running right now wants power over us. That's what Democrats want. Republicans are running to serve us. That's something I didn't catch right away. Why would you want someone with power over you? I don't want anyone with power over me. We have the power over them. That's the difference between Republicans and Democrats. They want the power over us. Very telling. The violent rhetoric. What violent rhetoric? Carrie Lake in Arizona wants more law enforcement, wants a secure border that the federal government, run by Democrats right now, does not want to do. We want to fight human trafficking. Well, we know Hillary Clinton doesn't. Democrats and rhinos are complicit in it. So it's very interesting.
your community. So I want to take this a step further away from the incident, that terrible incident with Paul Pelosi, and broaden it out, because what we have with the rhetoric coming from the Republican candidates from their party right now is so disturbing. I didn't see a big outpouring on the part of elected officials to stand with Nancy Pelosi the way she has stood with Republicans as well as Democrats in times of real terror, like on January the 6th. And so ask yourselves, please, why would you entrust power to people who are either themselves unable to see how terrible it is that someone would be attacked in their home, or don't really care because they think it will somehow get them votes that will get them elected? This is a real threat to the heart of our democracy.
All right, I've had it. I can't play anymore. So, all right, it's sickening. I'm getting nauseous. Wow, literally. Wow. We're supposed to, with everything going on, they want us to be talking about this. They want voters to focus on this. We should be talking about Paul Pelosi. Oh, it's a tragedy. All right, the guy got beat up, but they're spinning it and pushing this false narrative that it's obvious it's not there. But the way the Democrats will do that, and how they've always done it, is if they keep talking about it, they want to drown out the truth. Drown out the truth that there was no nefarious MAGA Republican who broke into the Pelosi home, ended up in his underwear, wanting to kidnap the Speaker of the House. Third in line to be president. No, that's it's all a lie. It's all bullshit. Something was going on. And this is the spin. Where are the law enforcement body camera footage? Where are all of the closed circuit security camera footage around the house? Where is all of that? Let's see all of that. Are they going to put that camera footage in the same place that they put all the January 6th camera footage that they refused to release because they know it's all bullshit? Violent rhetoric from the right? This has nothing to do with the right. This is everything to do with, again, Democrats politicizing every crisis to try to deflect and distract from the issues. That Democrat policies suck, they have nothing to run on, and that they're desperate, and that Republicans are going to kick their asses on November 8th. With the help of all of us, obviously, because that's what needs to happen. Do me a favor and hit the share button wherever you are, especially Facebook. Just hit the share button. As I said earlier, I can't post on my Facebook page. Like, you know, if you follow my page, which is growing, it's well over 40,000. But I'm restricted right now. I can't post anything. I can't like anything, but it's allowing me to live stream, which is wild. I don't get it. I think in another 30 something hours, I can post again. I can actually post memes and stuff, but it's been killing me because I'm like, you know, I post a bunch of memes a day and stuff, and everyone on the page goes wild and they're sharing and they're talking about it. And sometimes the trolls come in and they're fighting and it's funny. I haven't been able to do any of that because I'm in like this half of, it's like I'm in a Facebook halfway house because I can live stream, but I can't like anything or react to anything or post anything or comment. Like, I can't write anything in the comments. I see all your comments. So Nancy away. Paulie will play. That is so true. That is, and I listen, I think at 82 years old, and he had this young guy there. I don't know if both of them were in their underwear, or one, the attacker was in his underwear. Someone was in their underwear. There was a hammer involved. There was the broken window with the glass pushed out. It is what it is. We have a country to save. And it's coming. It's coming soon. It's coming soon in a few days. And we have Liz Cheney. We have Liz Cheney endorsing Democrats and calling Nancy Pelosi a tremendous leader. Yes, she is. You know, she lost her primary. She got, you know, beat bad. And she's endorsing Congressman Tim Ryan, a Democrat in Ohio, who's running against J.D. Vance, of course. Tulsi Gabbard just endorsed J.D. Vance, but I think Tulsi Gabbard, I have no use for her. But she was on this PBS NewsHour, and she was asked if she'd support J.D. Vance against Ryan in Ohio, and she said she would not vote for J.D. Vance. And she said that she would vote for Tim Ryan. So she said she's endorsing Tim Ryan as the Democrat in Ohio running against J.D. Vance, and that she called Nancy Pelosi a tremendous leader and a leader of historic consequence. Oh, there's consequences with her being leader for sure. Look at January 6th. Look at what's going on, because Nancy Pelosi was complicit 100%. 100%. And, you know, like Cheney, Tim Ryan is another warmonger, because they're both in, they have this pro-military interventionist worldview that we should be involved in everything. They, you know, they both would love to see, you know, our troops dying in Ukraine at the hands of Russian soldiers, because their families and their political, you know, organizations and special interest groups would benefit from it. Military industrial complex. So Liz Cheney, she's out there endorsing Democrats. Tulsi Gabbard's out there endorsing Republicans. All the clowns are out. The circus is open. All the clowns are out running around. Barry Obama, Joe Biden, Liz Cheney, Tulsi Gabbard, Kamala Harris, all of them. All the clowns are out. And they're all in desperation mode. And John Fetterman, retarded Shrek in Pennsylvania, he's, you know, he'll sit there and he'll stand by freeing convicted killers from prison. He's proud to run on his record, but he doesn't seem to be able to put two words together in a meaningful sentence or a cohesive sentence or paragraph. There was a guy, John Brookins. He was convicted of first-degree murder for killing a 58-year-old woman with a pair of scissors, and John Fetterman was the lone vote to release him out of prison. There's a bunch of them. Another guy, Charles Goldblum, he was convicted of first-degree murder for stabbing a man 26 times with garden shears. Then he tried to hire a cop to kill his accomplice, and Fetterman said, John Fetterman, running for Senate, current lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania, said he was happy to see the guy released from prison. He said that. And another guy, Raymond Johnson, convicted of first-degree murder after luring a man into a house, shooting him and stabbing him, then getting rid of his dead body. And the guy, the murderer, Raymond Johnson, refers to himself as the son of the devil, and John Fetterman made sure he got released from prison. And there are more. There are a lot of them. And this is a guy who people will say, well, if you're talking about his cognitive abilities because he had a stroke, you're an ableist and you're a mean-hearted person and you're evil for making fun of him. No, screw that. The guy's evil. He's a sick Democrat that hates the police, that loves prisoners, allows murders out on the street, wants people out of prison, wants legal drug dens so you can go and shoot up, and cannot... You imagine, I've said this before, John Fetterman as a senator, and this guy who can't put a complete thought together and has to have teleprompters voting to send America's sons and daughters overseas to die in wars that we shouldn't be involved in. Joe Biden, his cognitive issues, voting or sending our sons and daughters over to other countries to die. Imagine that. Because there are a lot of people that seem to think that that's okay and are going to vote for this guy. The Pennsylvania race is a big race to watch, the Oz Fetterman race. Because again, before the debate, I believe there was like 500,000 people that voted early in Pennsylvania, which is a tremendous amount of votes. Pennsylvania already saying, hey, we're going to need a few days to count all these. They're already saying it and preparing for the worst, in my eyes. That's my opinion. But... And then the number one Google search after the debate is how to change my vote if I already mailed it in. I mean, That's concerning to me. You know, also in Pennsylvania, the good thing is the Supreme Court, whether they do it or not is another story, because you know how Democrats are. They don't care what the Supreme Court says. They'll do the opposite anyway. It's like they don't have to abide by Supreme Court decisions. They don't in New York when it comes to guns or other places. They don't care what the Supreme Court says. They call the Supreme Court illegitimate when it doesn't go their way, just like they call Donald Trump an illegitimate president and that he stole the election because their guy didn't win or their girl didn't win or their woman or their whatever the hell she is, that demon Hillary Clinton didn't win. A Pennsylvania Supreme Court, hold on, my nose is itchy. Sorry about that. Pennsylvania Supreme Court ordered their election officials to set aside undated mail-in ballots, which is huge. First of all, I guess your mail-in ballots are supposed to be dated, but the Pennsylvania Supreme Court on Thursday ordered that the election officials set aside undated mail-in ballots ahead of next week's midterm elections, and this was a unanimous vote from the Supreme Court to set aside. It was either undated or incorrectly dated mail-in ballots. And under Pennsylvania law, mail-in voters are required to sign and date a declaration on the outer envelope. And despite this requirement, if undated or incorrectly dated ballots are turned in on time, they are eligible to be counted. So now the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ordered election officials to segregate and preserve any incorrect or undated mail-in ballots. So it'll be interesting to see how many there are and what they do with them. And it says the Pennsylvania County Boards of Elections are hereby ordered to refrain from counting any absentee and mail-in ballots received from the November 8th for the November 8th, 2022 general election that are contained in undated or incorrectly dated envelopes. That's what the court wrote. Now, whether they abide by that will be another story. It also says we hereby direct that the Pennsylvania County Boards of Elections segregate and preserve any ballots contained in undated or incorrectly dated outer envelopes. So of course, you know, Democrats don't want this. And this decision came after the RNC. They had a lawsuit against the acting Pennsylvania Secretary of State and other state officials. So they're calling it a massive victory. And I guess it is a massive victory against the nefarious evil who wants to lie, cheat, steal, and rig elections. But is that going to stop them? I don't think anything's going to stop them. They're going to do it. And that's why it's our job as Republicans to overwhelm the system. If you're going to be home and sit on your ass, you are not helping. You are voting for Democrats. That is a fact. That's not hyperbole, like Joe Biden likes to say. So I came across this video, which I want to share with you. It just goes to show how these sick millennials cry about everything. You know, they drown themselves in their tears of sorrow when they actually have to work for a living. And, you know, if they're a girl that looks like a boy and maybe they're trans or whatever they are and they get misgendered, they have a meltdown. So this was floating around. This Starbucks barista who goes by the name of Evan went in the back of the coffee shop and made this 2-minute video of himself crying because, well, he has to work too hard. Yes. Crying because he has to work too hard. I'm 43 years old. If I cried every time I worked too hard, I would be crying nonstop. Like, literally, all I want to do is work. I work too much by choice because it just keeps me going. It keeps me engaged, and I like to be successful. I like to make money. I'm self-employed, okay? I like to provide for my family, and I like to do nice things for my family, not just my immediate family, my family. It's my way of just giving back. And then you have these little whine asses that are like, I have to work so much and there's not enough people. And what am I doing? These customers, and I have to wear this stupid apron. Anyway. And then, yeah, it's true. It's true. I'm going to check out this guy. This is Evan. Let's hear what Evan has to cry about. This is great. I need a little comedy today.
People wonder why we need a union at Starbucks, and I am literally about to quit. Like, I don't know if I'm going to do it, but, like, I really want to. I almost walked out today, and I'm crying in the back room right now, and I almost cried on the floor. It's just, I'm like a full-time student. I get scheduled for 25 hours a week, and then on weekends, they schedule me the entire day, open to close. I'm on the schedule for 8.5 hours, both Saturday and Sunday. I'm like 3.5 hours into my shift. There's so many customers, and we have 4 people on the floor all day. Only 5 people were put on the schedule, and somebody had to call out, and there are 4 people running the whole store, and there's so many customers, and there's possibly scheduled 5 people. We only have 13 people employed at this store, and there's so many customers.
Someone gonna answer that phone? Do your job.
We don't have fair scheduling. Managers don't care about us. Our manager was supposed to come in this weekend, and he took himself off the schedule, so he wouldn't be able to be held accountable for calling out. He just literally tore down the schedule that he was scheduled on and put up a new schedule where he wasn't on the schedule. Also, he couldn't have even seen that he was scheduled in the first place because he didn't want to be held accountable for not wanting to come in.
Or she. Or it.
They don't want to help us. We need a union because this can't happen. This can't happen. We need fair scheduling. We need managers to hold themselves accountable for helping their workers. They refuse to turn mobile orders off. We need the liberty to be able to do that because there's so many mobile orders, and I need to get through all of them. And then people are yelling at me because I don't have their orders ready, and they don't know what to do.
Oh my god.
And a customer was misgendering me today, like, really badly. I didn't have their order ready. And so they were just, like, totally talking to each other, and they're like, she's clearly incompetent. I have a full mustache and beard. What the fuck? I don't get accommodations for being neurodivergent. I don't...
What?
Like, I can't... people get mad at me for using my sick time. I don't even know what to do anymore. I'm, like, at my wits end with this job.
Get therapy, you fucking wacko.
I really am.
Yep. I want to know, I mean, is that satire? Can that be real? Is that real? I mean, crying because he got to work. First of all, this just shows me that if this person is truly trans and is a woman who's transitioning into or transitioned into a boy, you're a biological female, you're emotional, and I'd imagine the chemical imbalances now from the hormones that you're on are making you anxiety driven, complete mental case, emotional, because having to work and having it be a little busy, I'd say that individuals probably 25, between the ages of 25 and 27, around there, maybe not older, goes to school, which we're probably paying for anyway. Wow. And those are the people that are going to come out and vote for John Fetterman. Those are the people that are going to come out and vote for every Democrat in America. But remember, yeah, Democrats want you to think that 80% of the population is transgender. In reality, less than 1%. Of the population is transgender. So I want to play one more video for you. This is, it's, if you know who he is, Grant Stinchfield. He was on news, had his own show on Newsmax. He was let go from Newsmax because he spoke out against the vaccine, refused to get it. He has his own podcast now. He's great. He's actually, I talk to him often. He is a brand ambassador for my cigar company, Patriot Cigars, which, by the way, holidays are coming. MyPatriotCigars.com. Head over there. Use promo code CIGAR15. Get 15% off your order. There's gift cards there if you want to give a gift. There's sampler packs there if you want to give a gift. These past 2 weeks, there are so many women ordering cigars for, I guess, husbands and boyfriends. Some are even throwing memos in the order saying, oh, these are actually for me, and I'm getting some for my husband too, and my boyfriend. A lot of gift cards, but mypatriotcigars.com. Get 15% off your cigar order when you use promo code CIGAR15. Orders over $100, you're getting free shipping. And if you buy a box of cigars, a full box while supplies last, you're going to get the We the People trucker hat for free. You will get one for free if you order a full box of cigars plus free shipping. And also with a box of cigars, you'll get a $10 e-gift card for future purchases. So that will, you'll get all that at checkout. So mypatriotcigars.com, promo code CIGAR15 to get you 15% off. All right, so Grant Stinchfield, great guy. He syndicated on some radio stations out in Los Angeles. He's also now on Real America's Voice. And he played a video, he made a video while he's jogging in Texas. He does this all the time, about not believing the red wave hype, meaning the mainstream media, some of the outlets have been saying, well, Democrats are in trouble and you know, we might see a red wave here. And he's saying that they're doing this for the reason of hoping to make Republicans lazy and saying, well, even now the Democrats are seeing it. Maybe I don't have to worry about taking a couple hours off from work to go vote or fitting it in between going to leaving work, picking up my kids or going from one job to the other and saying, oh, you know what? We're not going to have a problem. The way the media is talking about it, and especially the mainstream media, we're going to have this red wave. The way Mitch McConnell's speaking now and Kevin McCarthy about the red wave, it's like they're complicit on it because I don't trust them. I think they're willfully trying to sabotage some of these GOP races because they don't want to lose the majority within the party to America First candidates. Anyway, take a listen to my guy, Grant Stinchfield here, and listen to what he has to say, and I wholeheartedly agree.
Listen to me, folks, and listen to me very, very carefully. Do not get overconfident about this election coming up. Republicans now are talking about a red wave. I heard McCarthy say it's going to be a history-making election, the minority leader for us in Congress. I've got plenty in the mainstream media, the fake news liberal media, saying Republicans are on a roll. Why would they do that? The only reason they would push that is if they want us to get lackadaisical, if they want the people to stay home because they think it's in the bag. This is not in the bag, folks. Not by a long shot. Not with the election integrity issues we have going on around the country. So here's what I need you to do. Get uncomfortable. Put yourself in a position you're not normally in. That may mean you got to talk about politics with people you don't normally talk about politics with. That may mean you got to go hold a sign for a Republican candidate at a polling booth someplace. But here's what we need to do. We need to start getting angry. We need to snarl. We need to have spit dripping out of our mouth.
I don't know about that.
Fighting for this election. Don't get overconfident. Here comes the red wave. Act like we're 10 or 12 points behind.
Yep.
Because when it comes to election integrity, we probably are. Don't ever believe the fake news media. We got to be hungry. We got to want it. So go out there, get 5 people, get 10 people, grab them by the back of the neck, and bring them to the polls. It's that.
He's right. Grant Stinchfield is 100% right. It is the, it's, again, I said it, one of the most important election we've seen in a very long time. Text 5 friends, text 10 friends, make it a point to get out to the polls together. This is what we have to do. And not be overconfident. Do not become complacent. So get it done. We have a country to save, and get out there on November 8th. And it's still not too late. You still want to make a donation? Donate not to the party, donate to a candidate. It's important. So I think with that, I'm going to leave it there. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in, as always. I will be back for Freedom Friday with James Curry, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here. I think I'll be out of the Facebook jail halfway house in the next, like 30 hours, so I'll be able to start posting memes and other things on the Facebook page again, and I thank you all for following. Please hit the share button on Facebook. Hit the subscribe button over on Rumble. Follow me over on Getter. Follow me on Truth Social, the Great Divide podcast. And anywhere you can, just follow it. And I will also, again, the election special, the Great Steak Election Special, which will be a collaboration of myself and the Steak for Breakfast podcast on election night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, right here where you're watching right now. We're going to have Christina Bob calling in. We're going to have Kash Patel calling in. We're going to have some candidates calling in. We're going to have Mike Crispy calling in, giving us some commentary, following the results, giving it to you right here. It'll be more fun than you watching the news, because we will bring some fun to it, and it'll probably be like a 3 or 4 hour stream. So until then, thank you again for tuning in. Please hit the share button, follow me, and I'll talk to you all soon. Take it easy.